Punch Audio, through the Audiobook Creation Exchange, presents Operation Red Dragon and the Unthinkable, World War III Series, Book 2, Volume 2, written by James Rossone and Miranda Watson, narrated by Alex Hyde-White. Chapter 1, The Day That Changed the Nation. Day 21. 19 December, 2040, late afternoon. New York Harbor, New York. Freighter, Zulu Warrior. Captain Omar Hamadi and his crew of 8 had volunteered for this suicide mission. They would deliver the first of 2 of Allah's swords against the Americans. They were originally going to target Houston and the oil refining centers, but then their orders were changed by the Caliph himself. He told the men that he had had a vision and that their new target would be Manhattan and New York Harbor. As someone who had served in the Iranian Navy for years, Captain Hamadi was pleased with the change in orders due to the greater tactical advantage of the new target. However, he did have concerns about the increased risk in potentially being detected before they reached their final position. He didn't want anything to stop him from fulfilling his legacy of destroying the infidels. The 50-kiloton nuclear warhead they were carrying below the deck of their ship could be set to detonate by timer or by manual control. Captain Hamadi had one of his engineers wire the trigger device directly to the bridge so that he could personally be the one that unleashed Allah's sword on the unrighteous Americans. As they joined the queue of freighters waiting to enter the Hudson River, the crew played along with the harbor master's rules, waiting their turn to be inspected before they could proceed. After nearly 3 days of waiting, they had finally received notification for their ship to move into the next inspection queue. The Coast Guard announced, "Come to a complete stop and wait to be contacted for your inspection." Captain Hamadi started to feel nervous. The freighter was so close to their intended target. They were less than 6 miles away, yet it felt like a million miles away. Hamadi had been assured that the device was heavily shielded and should not set off any radiological detectors or other devices. It was also buried under several tons of coffee beans to ensure it would not be detected by a boarding party. Despite these assurances, Hamadi's heart was still racing. He was concerned they would be discovered before they were able to get close enough to their intended target. If they had to detonate the warhead in their current position, they would still cause catastrophic damage, but it was nothing in comparison to what would happen if they managed to reach their goal. The maximum potential carnage would be reached if they could position their ship near the I-75 bridge that connected Lower Manhattan and Jersey City. As the minutes turned into hours, they waited for the Coast Guard to board their ship. Hamadi's palpitations became one step shy of a full-blown panic attack. His palms were sweaty, his breathing became labored, and his thoughts were steadily racing. Time continued dragging along at a snail's pace while his internal urgency kept increasing. He finally decided that the boat was close enough that if he crept into the harbor and then gunned it, he could get to his intended target before anyone could do anything to stop them. The captain informed the crew of his decision, and they all conducted one last prayer before getting the ship and the device ready to go. Their plan appeared to be working. They had not been hailed by the harbor master or the Coast Guard yet, and they had just made it under the I-278 bridge. It was at this moment they received a hail from the Coast Guard. "Stop your ship and prepare to be boarded." The captain and his men quickly spotted the small cutter heading their way, but they did not appear to have any heavy weapons on them other than a 20-millimeter cannon and a couple of 50 cals. This was more than enough firepower to disable their ship, but not if Hamadi acted quickly. "Full speed ahead," Captain Hamadi ordered. He prayed he would be able to get close enough before the Coast Guard ship decided to engage them or could disable their vessel. Suddenly, an urgent voice filled the bridge.
"Zulu Warrior, Zulu Warrior, this is Lieutenant Willis of the U.S. Coast Guard. Stop your ship and prepare to be inspected. Acknowledge."
The ship was nearly to full speed, and they had just passed the Statue of Liberty.